Hi, thanks for joining us today on His Ability. This is Lynn Suzek. I'm here with my husband, Mark.
Hello, everyone.
Mark, have you heard about the pastor who is demanding that his congregation quits Facebook? How does that strike you?
It's absolutely amazing.
What do you think he's trying to accomplish?
Well, he's trying to force them to be good.
Yeah, I heard he's having trouble. Well, he's been counseling many, many people in his congregation that are having trouble with adultery. So the natural impulse in the world is to slap the hand, tell the people, you know, start preaching against adultery. And you know, people need to stop doing that, you know.
That's what you would do with a child. If a child was doing something you didn't want, some behavior that you didn't like, you would punish them, put law over them. Don't you ever do that again, or I will, whatever.
Yeah, ground you.
Sure.
Turn off the TV. You and I have been reading and writing and about the law doesn't work. It was never meant to work. And when we put the law on people, it erupts sin. So it's doing exactly what it was intended to do.
I'm guessing that as a pastor, he's been preaching law and not ministering grace. He's been preaching rules, do's and don'ts, and now his congregation is doing exactly what the law was designed to do. It was to make sin come alive, give motion to sin, and now he doesn't know how to get out of it.
I don't know if I know where that verse is. The law is the ministration of death. I know it says that. I'm not sure where that is. And it makes sin come alive.
Yep. Romans chapter 5, it says, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, make the offense even worse. In Romans 7:5, it says, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law. So law makes you, it makes your sin erupt.
Now, why would God give us a law, give us, you know, the laws, Ten Commandments and everything, to make sin get worse?
Because people were comparing themselves amongst themselves and judging themselves by themselves, and they were looking at each other and going, well, I'm pretty good. Certainly God will approve of me and allow me entrance into heaven. And God needed a way to show everyone, none of you are good. None of you are good enough.
They needed a savior.
You need a savior. That was the whole point of the whole sacrificial system. You need a savior.
Yeah. So what do you think would be the best approach if you had a congregation of people in sin as a pastor?
I think the first thing I would do as a pastor is I would stand before my congregation and openly repent for putting all my people under the law. I would repent to God and ask for forgiveness of all of my congregation and say, I've been wrong. I've been ministering law.
Legalism.
Yep. I've been putting you under the law, and I should have been putting you under grace. I should have been preaching grace and mercy, which is what Jesus did.
But our tendency is to feel that if we, okay, when we preach grace, we start telling people that they're righteous in Christ.
That's right.
Which our mind goes, that doesn't make any sense. Then they're just going to relax and do whatever they feel like because they're forgiven.
They're doing it anyway.
But it actually does make it better. Now, why would preaching grace to a group of sinners, you know, which is you're righteous, you're holy, Jesus did it all, it's finished. You don't have to, I mean.
Because you'd be setting them free from the bondage of sin. Sin comes by the law. Where there is no law, there is no iniquity. God will not impute sin where there is no law. So Jesus came and took the law away. He took it and fulfilled it. He disannulled the law. He basically made it null and void.
Don't they need to repent?
Well, repentance equals remission. If you're born again, you're already perfect in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, we're spirit, soul, and body. When you got born again, Jesus gave you a brand new, perfect spirit. He gave you his spirit. You're righteous, you're justified, you're perfected, you're holy, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But we still act sinful in our minds and in our actions. That's why it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to understand what has been deposited in you.
So we don't want to repent for the reason of gaining grace, good graces with God again. We are perfect. We are accepted. We are holy in Christ.
Right. You're not trying to repair a damaged relationship between you and God because you've sinned. You're trying to close the door to access that you've given Satan to your life. Your relationship between you and God, if you're born again, is you're good to go with God. God loves you. He's ministering grace and mercy. He's praying for you. He's encouraging you. You're not trying to fix a broken relationship with God.
And even though they may be in sin or on the outside, you know, stuck in sin, addictions, bad news, their spirit is still in Christ, is still perfect.
Right. They just need to renew their mind and then their actions will follow.
So the spirit needs to dominate.
Right.
And it can only do that. Well, basically our tongue, here's the scenario, basically. Pastor is speaking to the congregation time and time again. And if he's speaking sin, he's erupting sin because life and death are in the power of the tongue. So he's stirring up sin by speaking about it.
He's releasing it.
Rather than telling them, you're good, you're worthy, God's covered it, it's finished. If he keeps speaking life, then they're going to get life
right
in that congregation.
If he tells them that they're set apart, they're sanctified, they're pure, they're holy, they will start to act set apart, sanctified, pure, and holy. If he's telling them they're a bunch of sinners, they need to repent, they're adulterous, they're liars, they're thieves. If he's putting law, guess what? Whatever sin is in them, it's going to erupt and come alive.
Amazing.
Listen to this verse. James 2:10 says, if you keep the whole law but offend in one point, you're guilty of all. So if you're trying to keep the law, if you've even made one mistake, if you're trying to be righteous by the law, it's as though you're guilty of every single law. You're a murderer, a thief, a rapist, you name it, if you lied. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is anyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus rescued us from the law. We're not under the law anymore. There's only two commandments left. It's spoken of in John and in 1 John. One of the Pharisees came and said, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbors as yourself. This fulfills the law, love.
Really not what we're preaching nowadays, is it?
No, we should be preaching the ministration of righteousness, the ministration of sanctification. We are sanctified in Christ. We're holy in Christ.
Not based on our performance. Absolutely. Or not based on our actions.
Nothing you did or ever will do will make you more righteous than Jesus has made you. It's all about Jesus. If you think you're doing anything to make yourself righteous, you're kidding yourself. Remember, in Isaiah it says our righteousness, our self-righteousness is like, it's like soiled rags.
Filthy rags.
Filthy rags, yeah. It's Jesus' righteousness that purifies us. So if you're speaking to your congregation and you're saying, look, you are righteous because of Jesus, you're holy because of Jesus, you're sanctified because of Jesus, guess what? They're going to start acting and thinking that way.
You're holding up a mirror in front of these people, and you're either showing them that they're sinners, and they're going to start looking at their reflection. They're going to reflect what you say. The mirror shows that, you know, if you're showing them the sinful mirror, then they're going to be sinners. If you're showing them the mirror of Christ, here's what you look like. You're purified, you're sanctified, you're holy. They will reflect that.
That's right. The law was not made for a righteous man. There is a purpose for the law. When you're talking to a lost man who believes they are going to be accepted by God because of their own acts and their own deeds, that's the person you need to whip out the law on. You need to show them your self-righteousness is like filthy rags. that you have to be perfect. You have to be sin-free. You have to do every single thing perfectly to fulfill the law. And the scripture says, no one will receive righteousness by fulfilling the law. So you're showing that person you are hopelessly lost trying to do it on your own under the law. Then you lead them to Christ. You show them their sacrifice. You show them this is your parachute from the law. And then the scripture says the law is not made for a righteous man. So once they receive Christ, why would you put them back under the law? That's crazy.
It's so natural for our flesh to think that way. So this pastor telling his congregation that they have to all give up their Facebook accounts so that he can help them control and get away from adultery.
First of all, changing their actions is not going to change their heart. It has to go the other way. They have to change their heart first, and then their actions will follow.
Amen.
Listen to this. This is a couple of verses in Galatians chapter 3. It says, the law was our schoolmaster, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith that which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Once you receive the faith of Jesus Christ and you're born again, you are no longer under the law.
And if you go back to the law, you...
It's sinning. You're actually sinning if you return to the law.
A difficult concept for us to get because we don't live that way before we're born again. We don't... Grace is not a natural concept.
There's nothing like it on the planet Earth. It's only a godly thing. Listen to this verse. Keeping in mind this pastor is placing his congregation under the law and rules to try to control their behavior, listen to this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He should not be pushing sin consciousness onto his congregation because they are set free. They're washed clean.
But it's so the opposite of what he feels that he should do because he's got a congregation full of adulterers.
Right.
He doesn't know what to do about it.
I'll bet either he himself has been in adultery or he's been preaching strongly against adultery, placing a law over all of his congregation. And that, you know, it's like a teenager. You tell them, you are not to ever do this. Well, then when you walk away, what's the very thing they're thinking about doing? What you told them not to do. Anytime you place law over somebody, you're just encouraging that
behavior.
Yeah, it's like a disobedient, we'll see about that kind of thing that rises up out of you.
So the solution to the problem is to tell them they're not having a problem?
The solution to the problem is to start telling them what they are and who they are in Christ regularly, every week, week after week. Start going through the scriptures. You're perfected. You're sanctified. You're justified. You're holy. You're righteous. You are like Jesus. You are holy and purified. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
That is our spiritual mirror that we have from the Word telling us our new self in Christ, right? And I believe the interpretation I recently came to understand about that is that the verse that says we look in a mirror dimly now and, we walk away from it forgetting who we are.
Right.
So we read in the Bible for a while, well, you're righteous, you're holy, you're perfect, you're set apart, you're perfect. And then we go about our business and forget that that's who we are. So we have to be reminded.
Right. Well, what this pastor's been doing is reminding his people what they were before they got saved.
Right.
And so now they're starting to act like they were before they got saved. He needs to remind them of who they are in Christ, how pure and holy they are in their spirit.
The medicine for this unhealthy congregation is grace.
Yeah, it's grace and mercy being preached over them, and every one of them should be studying all the verses in the New Testament that say what they are in Christ, who they are in Christ. And when you start speaking those things out, you'll start to act that way because you'll start to, you're basically prophesying your future.
Amen.
If any of you are looking for a list of the scriptures to support the positions that we're talking about, simply email us and I will return an email with about 50 verses that tell you you're holy and pure and righteous in Christ.
Amen. Well, that's all we have for today, and thanks for joining us. Please send us your comments at life@hisability.com.